be seated. Okay, you're in for a different type service today. No teaching, but you're going to hear my testimony. The movie Chosen, I've been watching it on TV, and I think it's been well done. They took some liberties, but I think they did good in their liberties, presenting Jesus, perhaps in a little different light, but he was presented as Jesus. Then we recently had the movie Jesus Revolution, which some of us attended Wednesday night. And that's a story about Calvary Chapel. Well, I'm about as Calvary Chapel as you can get. And I want to share with you basically my testimony in coming into Calvary Chapel. I, along with others, viewed the Jesus Revolution movie, and I was a little bit timid. I was a little bit afraid of how they might present Chuck Smith. And I knew Chuck, not as a close friend, but as a casual friend. I knew him, respected him, listened to him, and was one of his pastors, you might say. Not in the immediate sense, but having gone out from Modesto back in 95 and coming here. But Chuck Smith was Pentecostal. He was from the Four Square denomination. I came out of the Assemblies of God, and they were very similar in their beliefs. But now, having spent years, 28 years in the ministry, I was raised in Southern California and saw the Jesus movement, but wasn't part of it. But the hippies that are portrayed as a clean, non-conforming group, a little misguided. But for us as young Christians, I was there. And to say that we looked upon the hippies in the same kind of way Chuck did, that they needed a bath. And many of them did. And I was concerned how this movie would portray Chuck Smith and the other associated people in that movie. But overall, I think they did a good job. It was a moving experience for me to sit there and watch it, and it was like taking me back to my youth. The guy that played Chuck Smith, though, Kelsey Grammer, I was a little bit afraid of. He is not a Christian per se. And I was a little shy in how he might portray Chuck Smith, someone who I loved and was friends with. Lonnie Frisbee, played by Jonathan Romey from The Chosen. Now, he was a surprise. But I think they handled Lonnie in a gracious way. I lived and graduated from Downey High School, which is a short drive to Costa Mesa. And recently, Downey's been in the news because Jeff Johnson, one of the guys in the Harvest book, he just retired as being pastor there. And Jeff turned his ministry over to one of his associate pastors. So that's been kind of the latest. But the hippies of the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, I was like them. I was trying to find myself spiritually. The Vietnam War was raging, and my older brother was off to fight for the good old US of A. And in the early 70s, I had been out trying to build my own little empire to find success in life. When I was introduced to the teachings of Chuck Smith by a fellow worker on the radio, I had heard of Calvary Chapels, but I would listen to Chuck as he taught on the, I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning, he would teach, and the first teaching I heard Chuck do was on the Holy Spirit. But I had an attitude about the Holy Spirit. I was quote-unquote raised in the Assemblies of God. We had corner on the market of the Holy Spirit, and I was interested what Chuck Smith, this guy, would have to say about the Holy Spirit. But Chuck, when I began to listen to him, he was talking to me. He was talking of right where I was at, the ongoings of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. And I was taken back by the simplicity and the truth of Chuck Smith's teachings. But I wasn't ready to cast off my Assembly of God roots. And like I said, I was all involved in trying to build my own little empire. And I had gone into business for myself. And after a few years, had moved that business from Southern California to Northern California. But I didn't know of any churches up there or anything that I could attend. So I went down to Calvary Bookstore and bought Chuck's cassette series Through the Bible. Cassette tapes of his entire, from Genesis to Revelation, teachings of the Bible. And for about 2 to 3 years, I submerged myself in these tapes. I was new to Northern California, and there was a new little startup Calvary Chapel there in Modesto. Still there, my pastor was Damien Kyle. And he was the first pastor that I was up close to and personal that I respected. In all my years in the Assemblies of God, I didn't have many pastors that I really respected. But I respected Damien. He lived what he preached about, and that was important to me. While in Northern California, I met Lori, my wife, and we began to attend Calvary Chapel of Modesto. Now, it's interesting to point out that it was a startup Calvary, and at the potlucks, they had a lot of young single men. And if you brought a dish to share, you were unusual. They would bring a bag of potato chips or grab a six pack of sodas, and they thought that was participating. And many times Damien would come to me and he said, "Would you go down to Kentucky Colonel and buy a bucket of chicken?" And I said, "Yeah, I can do that." So I would be off to buy some chicken for the people to have a potluck. But, you know, while there at Calvary, the Lord began to work on Lori in my heart. And we began to serve in the singles ministry. Now, if you can serve in a singles ministry, the rest of the ministries are a piece of cake. And I was also an elder, and I began to witness up close and personal what a Calvary was all about. In those 7 years of being involved in ministry there at Modesto, we would go to different Calvary conferences around the area, and I began to become acquainted with Chuck Smith. I'd known of him in Southern California, but I didn't know him. And I can honestly say to you, Chuck Smith is an extremely gracious pastor. But Chuck and I, by this time, I'm a farmer now, and I'm farming almonds, walnuts, and peaches, and he had a farming experience from avocados down in Ventura County, and we would talk farming. And so I began to know Chuck from a little bit of a different side than just being a pastor, but I began to really respect him to the point that I even got a haircut like Chuck. And I'm told I sound like Chuck. So at one of the conferences, I went up to Chuck and I said, "Chuck, I understand you sound like me." He thought it was funny too. But I got to know him up close and see him in a personal way. So I was a little hesitant to see how this Jesus Revolution movie would portray Chuck. But I think they did a decent job, and they presented him in a good light, not what I would call totally truthful light, but a good light. And one of the things I remember is the tent that there was it in Costa Mesa was not that little tent you see in the movies. It was like a circus tent. It was enormous. And so the tent I took exception to. But they handled Lonnie Frisbee, and I think they handled him in a good and careful way. But when I lived in Southern California, we would go to hear Lonnie on a weeknight because of the musical bands that he would have there with him. And Lonnie would preach a salvation sermon and people would get saved. But Lonnie was around much longer than the movie shows him being around. And he was around for when they had their building and everything was up and flowing and moving. And I have to say this, but the end days of Lonnie were not so good. He had a troubled life, and they don't get into that too much. And I think that was in good taste. And they also kind of featured Greg Laurie. And now, Greg Laurie is quite the evangelist. He is really a good evangelist. But my close-up view of him, when my daughter graduated from Biola College, the guest speaker was Greg Laurie. And I thought, wow, that's kind of good. But again, I have respect for him as a great evangelist. And this was back in the 80s. And you see the movie, if you haven't seen it, it kind of centers around Greg Laurie and Lonnie Frisbee. And Chuck is sort of there, but he's maybe a little bit in the background. Again, let me stress, Chuck was a gracious man, a gracious pastor. And I don't believe that he had to be too persuaded to minister to the hippies. That was Chuck's nature. But Chuck wasn't perfect. He was guilty of nepotism, putting his sons in ministry above their capabilities. And I also got to know Chuck's brother. I got to know Paul Smith at one conference, and we sit and we talk for quite a while. And Paul served on Chuck Smith's board. And Paul Smith was responsible for Chuck Jr. being removed as a Calvary pastor. And that had to be painful for Chuck. It ended up in Paul being dismissed from the Calvary board. And today you have Brian Broderson, pastor at Costa Mesa, and he is Chuck's son-in-law. So you see, Chuck had his family surrounding him in ministry, and I agree with putting your family around you if they're called of God. So the church there at Calvary in Costa Mesa is called Calvary Global. And they're in a little bit, disapproval of the Calvary Association, which we are part of. And Calvary Global believes in using all the modern technologies to evangelize and so forth, but they still believe in, you know, the basic tenets of the faith, so they're not bad guys. But what attracted me to Calvary was I saw and witnessed servanthood. The pastors at Calvary, the ones I got to know, were servants. They didn't ask you to do something they weren't willing to do themselves. And if you wanted to talk to Chuck Smith after one of his sermons or something, you would often have to follow him as he walked throughout the parking lot picking up cigarette butts. And I mean, this is literally, you would walk along with him and you see him picking them up. Well, then you started picking them up. I don't like cigarette butts, but... And the movie portrays Chuck as a little bit indifferent to loving and serving people, but Chuck was totally about that. In my memories of Chuck, he was very, very gracious. So I've been a pastor. I've been a pastor here 28 years, and I was 51 when I became a pastor. I know, slow learner, took me a while to get a hold of it, but I eventually did. But only at a Calvary Chapel could a person like me be a pastor. So I have a deep affection for the Calvary Chapel movement. Lonnie and Greg were not all that impressive to me because I knew Chuck and I knew what Chuck was about. He was a solid man of God. And it was good for me to see Chuck as an example, along with my pastor there at Modesto, Damian Kyle. These two men really are the basic reason I'm a minister. So here we are, 2023, and we're seeing a movie about a man of God that I grew up knowing. And I look back and I said, well, why didn't I hang around him more? Why wasn't I more of a Calvary Chapel person back then? Well, Calvary Chapel was big. It was a huge church, and I felt like I would just be a number there, so I never really got involved. But Chuck and I were casual friends, and he was a great example for me. And today, we honor Chuck by teaching like Chuck taught. Line upon line, precept upon precept, through the Word of God. Now, I have seen some pastors that have tried to imitate Chuck. Chuck would often make a point, and then he'd stand and smile at you, waiting for that point to sink in. And I even saw some guys that would stop and pause and smile. I said, oh, come on, man. But I was privileged to know Chuck a little bit, up close and personal. And he lived what he talked about, and he was very, very faithful to his ministry. He taught God's word simplistically with understanding, and I appreciated that. But let me tell you a couple stories about Chuck. When we, Lori and I, got involved at Calvary Modesto, Chuck would come up north and have little conferences. And he confessed to me at one of these conferences that he loved walnuts. Okay. Well, I had walnuts, peaches, and almond trees. So he said he liked them when they fell from the trees and they shed their husk, and he loved cracking them and eating them. So I said, well, I can take him a big bag of walnuts next time I go down south, which was Southern California. And so I did that. Lori and I went down on a kind of a chance to see my daughter and so forth. and I took a big gunny sack of walnuts, and this was on a Friday, and Chuck wasn't there. So I said, okay, I'll just told his secretary, let me just sit him by the door, and he can take them home, do whatever with them. And that was the end of it, I thought. Well, that Sunday, we were in the second service, and Calvary Chapel had three services every Sunday morning, and we're sitting in the middle, towards the front, and Chuck is coming back in down the aisle after greeting everybody that was at the first service. He stops on my row, looks down about 20 people, sees me, and says, thanks, Don, for the walnuts. You could have knocked me down with a feather. Chuck thanking me for walnuts? Okay. Did you hear that, folks? But he was gracious that way. Chuck had a photographic memory. And it was good to be known as his friend, to be acquainted with him. And to be thanked publicly for just some walnuts that I picked up off the ground, I thought that was pretty good. Let me tell you the second story, which surprised me. Years later, I'm here in Alabama, been pastoring a few years, but I went back to Marietta Springs, where they held the pastor conferences, and seeing Chuck, I approached him, and we kind of caught up on old times and talked a little farming and so forth. But then Chuck says to me, hey, Don, I dedicated your grandson a few weeks back. What? I knew about him doing this. My daughter told me. But he told me that he had dedicated my grandson to the Lord. I said, well, how'd it go? He said, it went fine. But he knew me. Close enough to say, I dedicated your grandson. And that kind of solidified a friendship that I thought was maybe a little distant, but, you know, how many close friends can Chuck have? But I was impressed that he knew me. And I counted it a privilege to be his friend. But I remember some of his teachings. And Chuck was not a glamorous type teacher, but he was solid. And he would say to us, take this teaching I have just given you, use it, apply it, for now it is yours. He didn't have corner on the gospel. He didn't have corner on teachings. He shared. So when Chuck died, and that was a few years back, we lost not only our founder, not only our leader, but for me, I lost a gracious friend. And so I was concerned how they would present Chuck in this movie, but I was pleased. Maybe not to the point of glorifying him, but they presented him in a good light. And he was my pastor for a while, along with Damien, without whom these two men, being an example, I would have never become a pastor. I would have never taken on the responsibility of being a pastor, for I was asked one time, you know, maybe you should be a pastor. I said, I don't mind working for a living. Don't present it to me to be a pastor. I have no desire, but the Lord thought otherwise. And he granted me the privilege of being a pastor, and it is my privilege. So let me get you to stand. That's it. I just give a testimony. There ain't no more. So, Father God, you took me, an unsuspecting young man, and you turned my life around, and I give you thanks. Lord, you showed me what a privilege it was to be a Christian believer. And what a double pleasure it was to just be associated to serving you, Lord. So I pray for anyone here that has a heart for serving you. I pray you would bless them, Lord. Use them for your glory. Use them in a way that maybe perhaps even boggles their mind, but use them for your glory. And Lord, let us be dedicated witnesses of your love and your goodness. May we not be ashamed of our heritage. And when we see movies like Jesus Revolution or The Chosen, may we just stop and pause and realize how fortunate and how blessed we are, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for allowing me, a little nobody, to be a pastor and to be a pastor for a few years. So I thank you, Lord. So go before us. We pray for one another. We lift up each other, Lord. Use us for your glory is our prayer. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.